This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one.
Goes like this. God before me, God behind. To the left and to the right, God's looking fine. God all around me, far and near. Won't you get a look at all the God in here. So let's try that. We'll start with God before me.
God before me, God behind.
To the left.
To the left and to the right, God's looking fine.
God all around me, far and near.
Won't you get a look at all the God in here.
That's pretty good for your first time. Let's try that again. God before me.
God before me, God behind. To the left and to the right, God's looking fine.
God all around.
God all around me, far, far and near. Won't you get a look at all the God in here?
Get a look at all the God.
Get a look at all that God. Get a look at all the God, get a look at all that God.
Try that.
Get a look at all the God, get a look at all that God. Get a look at all the God, get a look at all that God.
God before me, God behind. To the left.
To the left and to the right, God's looking fine.
God all around.
God all around me, far and near. Won't you get a look at all the God?
But as our first step into this more contemplative part of the service, I invite forward Palakini Hapi to give us our reading.
Good morning. I Am There by James Dillett Freeman. A copy of this was taken to the moon by Neil Armstrong. Do you need me? I am there. You cannot see me. Yet I am the light you see by. You cannot hear me, yet I speak through your voice. You cannot feel me, yet I am the power at work in your hands. Only in absolute stillness, beyond self, can you know me as I am. And then, but as a feeling and a faith, yet I am there, yet I hear, yet I answer. When you need me, I am there. Even when you feel most alone, I am there. Even in your fears, I am there. Even in your pain, I am there. I am there when you pray and when you do not pray. I am in you, and you are in me. Though you may not see the good, good is there, for I am there. I am the law on which the movement of the stars and the growth of the living cells are founded. I am the love that is the law's fulfilling. I am your assurance. I am your peace. I am one with you. I am. Though you fail to find me, I do not fail you. Though your faith in me is unsure, my faith in you never wavers, because I know you, because I love you. Beloved, I am there.
Thank you. 주절에 두레소아 엉탈의 주절에 두레소아 엉탈의 주절에 두레소아 두달에 두레소 엄달에 두달에 두레소 엄달에 두달에 두달에 두레소 엄달에 두달에 두레소 엄달에 두달에
When you're down and troubled and you need some love and care, and nothing, oh nothing, is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, fall, all you have to do is call, and I'll be there, yes I will. You've got a friend. If the sky above you grows dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind begins to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud, and soon I'll be knocking at your door. Just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, fall, all you have to do is call, and I'll be there, yes I will. Now ain't it good to know that you've got a friend, when people can be so cold, they'll hurt you, yes, and desert you, they'll take your soul if you let them, so don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, running, yeah, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you have to do is call, and I'll be there, yes I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend. Hey, don't you know? You've got a friend. You've got a friend.
So this year we're sowing seeds of grace, and one of the aspects of sowing seeds of grace is the practice of compassion and loving kindness. So today I want to focus on the Buddhist teachings as well as the teachings of Jesus, because they both pretty much have compassion and kindness covered. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And we used this quote last week, and leaning on the teachings of Emily Cady from Lessons in Truth, when she said that God is spirit, or the creative energy that is the cause of all visible things. And so we recognize that when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, he's saying it because your neighbor is yourself, right? We are all one. In the same way that a drop of water in the ocean, that one drop contains the whole, or the comparison of the pure substance of gold, which can be melted into bracelets or necklaces or fillings for your teeth or whatever, it's still gold. It takes on many forms. In the same way, you are gold, you are spirit, but we simply take on many different forms. That spirit takes on numerous, numerous forms in this world. Jesus also said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, the golden rule. And we know that the golden rule crosses all religious boundaries, that almost every religion in the world has this as one of the tenets of their teachings. And Jesus also said, the night before he was crucified at the Lord's Supper, when he stopped to wash the feet of the disciples, and particularly Peter was like, no, you know, don't wash my feet, you know, because he didn't want him to like lower himself like that. And Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you have no, I have no part of you. You have no part of me. And Peter, of course, says, you know, go ahead, give me a bath, you know, give me a shower, wash everything. But Jesus is saying that you call me teacher and you call me rabbi, and yes, that's true. And so if I, who am the rabbi, can bow down before you and wash your feet, then how much more should you do for each other? So, you know, we always tell this story around Easter, you know, that he's giving the message of, you guys need to serve each other. You need to see the Spirit of God in one another. So one of the teachings of Buddhism, of course, is the practice of loving kindness and compassion, or metta, M-E-T-T-A is what it is called. And Thich Nhat Hanh described it this way, when it kind of fits with our sowing seeds of grace. May I be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in myself. For the soil of our minds contains many seeds, both positive and negative. We are the gardeners who identify, water, and cultivate the best seeds. So touching the seeds of joy, peace, and love in ourselves and in each other is an important practice that helps us grow in the direction of health and happiness. So it is with intention that we do good. So we're seeing that these practices are a couple thousand years old, and yet, you know, it feels like we're just starting to get it, you know? That we're just, you know, and maybe it's because of this age in which we live that we're able to take all the different teachings and blend them together and have the lessons on how to actually do these practices. We no longer have to run up to a mountaintop or off to a cave to study with monks in order to figure out how to do this practice. And that's the key, right? The key is, well, we got to practice it. So I called this talk this morning the collective dream, because I believe that over time, through time, we all kind of join in and participate in different collective dreams at different periods of time in our history. So for instance, in the 60s, you know, there seemed to be a collective ecstatic energy, right? There was this ecstatic energy of a dream of music, of rock and roll, of jazz, of, you know, of Motown, there was just this movement that just sort of pulled people out of themselves, seemingly in a way that may not have happened before. There was a great passion for causes, for making a difference. There was this energy there. And then if we look to the 80s, it seems like the collective dream was more like, well, let's gather as many material possessions as we can. I think we called it yuppies back then, right? You know, that was a collective dream that we seemed to be caught in. And perhaps, you know, the 90s and after was a collective dream of beginning a search. Because, you know, remember how the Harry Potter books were so popular? They were flying off the shelves. I know my kids were raised on Harry Potter. And so when I think about what's the collective dream that we're in right now, and it seems to me that it's a choice. It's a collective dream of compassion and kindness. Or it can be a dream of fear and escapism. You know, it's no accident, I don't think, that the drug crisis is happening right now, right? That people are taking prescription drugs to, like, go, get me out of here, you know, because I don't want to look at and I don't want to face some of the things that are happening in our world. So this brings us to our teachings, right? And that's why we're here. That's why we're in community, is so that we can practice the higher forms of this collective dream. So Constant Kassor, who's a Buddhist, said that to Mahayana Buddhist traditions, compassion is one of the primary qualities that a practitioner should cultivate. So it's one of the very first things, other than generosity, that a Buddhist needs to cultivate. Many Buddhist teachers have reflected on the effects of compassion, describing the ways in which it can lead to lasting happiness for oneself and others. Oh, doesn't that sound great? So all we got to do is practice metta, loving kindness and compassion. We have lasting happiness. But here's the thing. She says that practicing compassion in and of itself is not necessarily a happy feeling. Right? Because what does it mean to practice compassion? It means to have our eyes open and to go willingly into suffering, whether it be our own suffering and pain, or whether it be a friend or a loved one or a child or the world. So although the practice of suffering over, the practice of compassion over, yes, we're really good at practicing suffering, aren't we? Now we need to practice the opposite. So it can make us feel uncomfortable. And again, it means facing ourselves head on as well as others. And, you know, one of the things that the chaplains learn in their chaplain training is the difference between empathy and sympathy. And there's the real practice of empathy. And empathy, of course, is feeling into. So I sit with you and I am a witness to your pain. I'm a witness. I'm a listener. The Lean on Me song, right? Whereas sympathy is more, you'll be okay. You're fine. And sympathy sort of puts you in a different place. It's sort of like, I'm okay, but you're not okay. And maybe I can pull you up to be with me. Whereas empathy is more of a walking with someone. It's more of, I'm sharing in this with you, and I have no illusions that I'm going to save you from anything, but that I can walk with you through this, that I can feel into this experience with you rather than to heal and or fix you from something. So there's a big difference between empathy and sympathy. So we have a grand opportunity to put these teachings into practice, and we're going to do that this morning. I'd like to practice both metta and a practice called Tonglen, because many of you obviously know that we're in the midst of this coronavirus thing, which could cause a great deal, or which is causing a great deal of fear to spread, not just across our country, but across the world. Just look at the stock market, right? The stock market usually reflects what the mood is, and it's, you know, dropped more than it has ever, apparently. I know that a couple people told me that they've gone to Costco in the last couple of days, or Trader Joe, and anybody, I know Lene, so who's been to Costco in the last couple of days, anybody? And I heard it was crazy. I heard the lines went all the way back. People are buying Clorox, paper towels, toilet paper. You got to have the essentials. And then, of course, food. So there's this pulling back, you know, that's beginning to happen, that we're beginning to see. We know that one person has died in Kirkland, and that there is a care center that apparently it's up to like 25 or 40 people have either been exposed and or showing symptoms. So, you know, there's a reason, obviously, to be conscious and wise. However, what health officials are telling us is that if we do the normal thing like we do during flu season. Got to put that little medicine on the back of your neck. No. washing your hands, right? Washing your hands. And we do have some Purell stuff back there and stuff. And, you know, and again, like during the welcoming, if you'd rather do this than that. So that's the physical manifestation of what's going on and what's happening. But our practice, if you will, our spiritual practices, is then how do we respond to it? Do we become afraid? And do we buy into that? And, you know, I mean, I have to admit, last night I was awake because my daughter lives in Kirkland and teaches school in Kirkland. And I'm like, really, God, of all the places, you've got to dump it right where my daughter is, who already has asthma, who should not have the coronavirus, not that anybody should. But you know what I mean? I'd rather take it. So I have to admit that I started down that road last night. Like, what if, what if, what if? But that's not our spiritual practice, right? Our spiritual practice is to practice metta, loving kindness, compassion, prayer, and to bring that out as a healing balm. So how do we do that? So Thich Nhat Hanh says that when we practice loving kindness, and I know we've done it 100 times here, so most of you know it, but what's most important is that first you look at yourself, and that's in the practice of both metta and tonglen. So the image of being on an airplane and the oxygen mask falls, and they always say, take the oxygen yourself first before you put it on anybody else. It's the same kind of thing when we're doing our spiritual work. Take care of yourself first so that you can then help others. Thich Nhat Hanh says that saying just one line of a metta meditation will already bring more compassion and healing in the world just by saying the first line of it. And there's all different forms of it, but may all beings be free from danger, right? Just saying that will already start moving the energy in that direction. So now the practice of Tonglen is a different practice. And Pema Chodron said that it's a technique for awakening compassion. And it is a method for overcoming our fear of suffering and for dissolving the tightness of our hearts. And we begin the practice by taking on the suffering of a person whom we know to be hurting and wish to help. Or, beginning with yourself, you take on the suffering of yourself first. Then you take on the suffering of others. She says at that point we can change the focus and begin to do Tonglen for what we are feeling. And here's the piece that's important. And for millions of other people, just like us, who at that very moment are feeling exactly the same stuckness and or misery. So we breathe in for all people who are caught in the same emotion, and we send our relief or whatever opens up the space for ourselves and countless others. Those are important words. So when we practice this, we practice it for the millions of others who are feeling the same thing that we're feeling right in this moment. So are you ready to do a practice? You ready to kind of put the rubber to the road here? All right. So we're going to do the practice of Tonglen first, and then I'm going to lead you through a metta. So if you would, in however you prepare yourself for meditation, to do that. So the first part is to simply rest in stillness. So take a deep breath. It helps if you have your feet firmly planted on the floor, if you can keep your back straight but not stiff, so that, you know, there's this waiting, there's this awakening to God. And with each breath, I invite you to open to spaciousness. Open to spaciousness. And the second step is to work with textures. So I'd like you to breathe in a heavy sense right now. Breathe in something heavy or hot or claustrophobic. And then breathe out a light sense of freshness. So you're breathing in the darkness, the fear, and you're exhaling to light. Do this not just with your breath, but do it through the pores of your skin. So breathing in, and imagine breathing in claustrophobia, tightness, and then exhaling expansiveness. Bless you. Breathing in anything that concerns you and exhaling light and love. So breathe into yourself whatever you are going through right now. And then when you exhale, breathe light to it. And I'm not going to walk you through each breath. But breathe into yourself your suffering. Breathe into yourself whatever it is you are going through right now. Whether it be a relationship or financial or physical. And then exhale openness and light. And now I'd like you to focus on somebody that you know is hurting right now, whether it be a friend or a loved one, and breathe in their pain, exhaling light and love to them. And just staying focused on this one person, breathing in and breathing out. For a couple of breaths, stay with it. And now let's make the taking in and sending out bigger. So what are your fears about the state of the world right now, specifically about maybe the stock market or the coronavirus? Breathe it in. No avoidance. And then breathe it out. Light, energy, compassion. And stay with that. Breathe in the fear that is now circling this planet and breathing out freshness and light. And know that you're doing this breathing for millions of people. Stay with it. Breathing in. Feel the collective. Breathing out. Sending light and healing. And with each exhalation, feel your heart growing, becoming bigger, encompassing more. And so now let's move to metta. May I nourish the seeds of joy in myself every day. I'll say it one more time and then let's say it together. May I nourish the seeds of joy in myself every day together. May I nourish the seeds of joy in myself every day. May you nourish the seeds of joy in your life every day. May you nourish the seeds of joy in your life every day. May we nourish the seeds of joy in our lives every day. May we nourish the seeds of joy in our life every day, and may all beings nourish the seeds of joy in life every day, and may all beings nourish the seeds of joy in life every day. And continuing along this path, may I be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May I be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit together. May I be happy. You were right. Let me say it one more time. May I be peaceful, happy, in body and spirit. May you be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May you be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May we be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. And may all beings be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May all beings be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. And take a deep breath. And when you're ready, returning back to this time, this place. So this is our work. This is our practice. So when you find yourself looking at the news and going down the road of the what ifs, stop. And don't run from it, but face it. Remember, the practice of metta leads to happiness, but the actual act of compassion is not always comfortable. So we're called to have courage during this time. So again, may we hear the words of Thich Nhat Hanh. May I be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in myself. For the soil of our mind contains many seeds, positive and negative, and we are the gardeners who identify, water, and cultivate the best seeds. So touching the seeds of joy, peace, and love in ourselves and in each other is an important practice that helps us grow in the direction of health and happiness. You chose to be born during this time in history, during this period. You have a calling. May we all stand up to it and say, yes. Amen. Yes. Thank you.
There's a place I go to where no one knows me, and it's not lonely, it's a necessary thing. It's a place I made up, found out what I'm made of. The nights I stayed up, counting stars and fighting sleep, I let it wash over me. I'm ready to lose my feet and take me off to the place where no one reveals life's mystery. Steady on down the line, lose every sense of time, and take it all in and wake up that small part of me. Day to day I'm blind to see and find how far to go. Everybody's got their reasons, everybody's got their way. We're just catching and releasing what builds up throughout the day. It gets into our body and it flows right through our blood. We can tell each other secrets and remember how to love. Da da dum da dum dum dum. Da dum dum dum. Da dum dum. Da da dum da dum dum dum. Da dum dum dum. Da dum dum. There's a place I'm going where no one knows me. I'll breathe real slowly, let it out then let it in. It can be terrifying to be slowly dying, also clarifying the end where we begin. So let it wash over me. I'm ready to lose my feet. Take me off to the place where one reveals life's mystery. Steady on down the line, lose every sense of time. Take it all in and wake up that small part of me. Day to day I'm blind to see and find how far to go. Everybody's got a reason, everybody's got their way. We're just catching and releasing what builds up throughout the day. It gets into our body and it flows right through our blood. We can tell each other secrets and remember how to love. Da da dum da dum dum dum.
If you enjoyed the Seattle Unity Sunday service, please hit the donate button so we can bring you even more uplifting music and messages. Or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find directions and information about all our programs, classes, services, and events at www.seattleunity.org. Or find us on Facebook, where we post all our readings, links to more podcasts, and sermon videos. Seattle Unity, celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys.